In Let Your Life Speak, Parker Palmer said, "Self-care is never a selfish act. It is simply good stewardship of the only gift I have, the gift I was put on earth to offer others. Anytime we can listen to true self and give the care it requires, we do it not only for ourselves, but for the many others whose lives we touch." Maybe you've seen the Parks and Recreation episodes that the saying "treat yourself" comes from. If you haven't, it's not really complicated. There's not a lot to it. It's just the uncomplicated joy in embracing a little self-indulgence, a bit of self-care. We live in a time and a place in history where self-care is becoming a very popular buzzword. But for a lot of us, it's not reflected in our lives. It's not necessarily that easy to just treat ourselves. The ability to allow ourselves to practice self-care isn't easy. Many of us come from cultures where what we refer to as self-care is considered lazy or embarrassing. But Parker Palmer has a point. We have to take care of ourselves so that we can be of help to others. I keep reading and rereading this passage from Wayne Miller's book, Sabbath. An excellent book that gives you permission to rest if you're like me and have trouble with that. And I just want to read this passage. It's a few paragraphs, so stay with me. It's wonderful. "When we breathe, we do not stop inhaling because we have taken in all the oxygen we'll ever need, but because we have all the oxygen we need for this breath. Then we exhale, release carbon dioxide, and make room for more oxygen. Sabbath, like our breath, allows us to imagine we have done enough work for this day. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Jesus said this again and again. Let the work of this day be sufficient. When our will is bent towards a goal, we enter so deeply into our work that we soon feel this project or task is the only thing that truly matters. And in that moment, if we do our work well, we must focus in that way on the task before us. Yet the instant we put down the pen, close up the toolbox, turn off the machines, we lift up our eyes and see the horizon, the place where the sun and earth seem to touch. From the Psalms, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. And in that moment, we surrender. We feel how large the universe is and how small our individual labors. Our work is simply one offering among countless others that have come before and will come again, when all we have planted has been grown, harvested, eaten, and forgotten. When we stop, we see that the world continues without us. Sweet humility and gentle mindfulness bequeath the grace to stop and see that it is good, that there is no need to keep pushing. When we stop with no chores or agenda, we let our eyes rest, our bodies heal, our activities languish, and taste the fruits of our labor. As the psalmist invites us, be still and know." Henry Nouwen was a friend of mine, still reading, he was not a friend of mine, a brother, priest, and mentor. He was also a fiercely astute observer of our worried, overfilled lives. Henry insisted that the noise of our lives made us deaf, unable to hear when we are called or from which direction. Henry said our lives have become absurd because, in the word absurd, we find the Latin word surdus, which means deaf. In our spiritual life, we need to listen to the God who constantly speaks, but whom we seldom hear in our hurried deafness. On the other hand, Henry was fond of reminding me that the word obedient comes from the Latin audere, which means to listen. Henry believed that a spiritual life was a pilgrimage from absurdity to obedience, from deafness to listening. If we surrender fully into Sabbath time, we can slowly move from a life so filled with noisy worries that we are deaf to the gifts and blessings of our life, to a life in which we can listen to God, Jesus, all the Buddhas and all the saints and all the sages and teachers and messengers who seek to guide and teach us. Absurdity to obedience, stopping to listen, to smell the flowers, as it were. Obedience isn't my favorite word. I think that's the you in me. I kind of like to do things my own way. But I think this passage has, it's referring more to obeying our need for rest. After all, the passage is from a book called Sabbath. It's all about resting. And Sabbath, the idea of taking a whole day to rest, is a concept found in many cultures and closely tied to religion often. Which is an odd thought, really. I mean, why would humans need to give ourselves a rule about resting? And a rule that's tied to faith and religion and morality. Resting being tied to morality is an interesting idea. There's a morality inherent in taking the responsibility to allow yourself the rest that you need and that you deserve. In seminary, we're often at the receiving end of advice around self-care and Sabbath. I suppose because ministry is considered a helping profession, and Parker Palmer is right, if I don't take care of myself, who am I to offer to attempt to help any of you? But this focus on self-care can feel like a burden, to the point that sometimes resting feels like one more thing on my to-do list. It can invert into this feeling of stress. Like, oh no, I didn't set aside time for self-care this week. Or even if I have an appointment for a massage and now it's on the calendar and it's stressing me out because I have other things to do. At the root of this anxiousness is this fear that if I am not productive, I will not be proving or somehow earning my worth. Am I a worthwhile human being? Who am I to be taking up space? To be using resources. At its very most severe, depression, anxiety, and isolation can fool us into believing that we are what we do, that our worth comes down to what we accomplish, when in fact the reality is that our worth is inherent in what we are. Or it would be more correct to say our worth is inherent in the very fact that we are. It would be more correct to say our, oh, I just said that. The very fact that we are. I need to say it again. It's true. And our first principle states that we believe in the inherent worth and dignity of all people. We all accept that fairly easily. It's harder to turn it towards yourself sometimes, but why would you, among all humans on earth, be exempt from having inherent worth and dignity? You're not. All you have to do is be. It's so much easier to apply that to others than to truly apply it to yourself. But nothing is strictly required in order for you to have worth beyond measure. A mantra I enjoy invoking is simply, just breathe. Nothing more is required of you. I say this mantra in my head and I inhale on the just breathe and exhale thinking, nothing more is required of you. And it's hard. It's hard to do. It's hard to believe. You may be thinking of ways in which there are things required of you. You have a spouse or a job or school. You have responsibilities. The idea behind this mantra is it empowers you to take responsibility for the actions that you choose to take. It strips away the feeling that you must attend to work or family, etc., in order to be of worth. No. Your inherent worth comes from your existence. You are filled with divine light, and nothing can take that away from you. Yes, hard work is important. It is helpful and valuable, and you don't want to be seen as lazy. And by the power vested in me as a seminarian and candidate for ministry in the UU Church, I officially absolve you. You got out of bed on a Sunday morning, in summer no less, and that in and of itself shows that you are not lazy. Anyone here today is officially not lazy. I officially absolve you from worrying about being a lazy person. As of today and ever forward, you have been acknowledged as not lazy. Applaud yourself. You have the right and responsibility to practice self-care and treat yourself. Barbara Brown Taylor challenges us, at least one day in every 7, pull off the road and park the car in the garage. Close the door to the tool shed. Turn off the computer, which is hard to do. Stay home, not because you're sick, but because you are well. Talk someone you love into being well with you. Take a nap, a walk, an hour lunch, a 2-hour lunch. Test the premise that you are worth more than you can produce. That even if you spend a whole day of being good for nothing, you're still precious in God's sight. And when you get anxious because you are convinced that this is not so, remember that your own conviction is not required. It's a commandment. Your worth has already been established, even when you're not working. The purpose of the commandment is to woo you to the truth. I think that we do that here. Sometimes people ask, why go to church if you're UU? We all have different answers to that. Ralph Waldo Emerson questioned that. Emily Dickinson questioned that. We all have different answers, but I suspect for us, choosing to attend church on a Sunday morning, for all of us, we believe is a freely chosen act. We're not required. We're not guilted. If we don't come on Sunday mornings, we don't have to go to confession. God is not sad. You will not make baby Jesus cry. I suspect that many of you are here for the same reason I am, which is to have your soul fed, to reconnect to the community that gives you strength so that you can get through another week out there working hard. Today is likely your Sabbath. This is likely your self-care. This is the time to treat yourself. Brené Brown, in her book, The Gifts of Imperfection, reflects on her research findings that tie together rest with a similar concept, play. Adults need play in the sense that we need to take time to do purely useless things. So if resting for you is reading a book about work, that doesn't count. You still need to do something utterly useless at some point. We have to give ourselves permission to be frivolous. Taking time for a massage is not play if it's just one more thing on the to-do list. Brené Brown's subtitle to the chapter she has on rest and play is perfect. I just had to tell you word for word. It's letting go of exhaustion as a status symbol and productivity as self-worth. Oh, boy. She's got my number. I don't know if you hear yourself in that, exhaustion as a status symbol, but yeah, it's a little too close to home to hear that. Brené Brown says that, and this is a quote, making the choice to rest and play is countercultural. She notes that there is a shocking similarity between the biological need for play and our body's need for rest. In his book, A Whole New Mind, Daniel Pink argues that in order to succeed in an ever-changing world, we need to learn to be more playful. And this is a quote from Daniel Pink. Ample evidence points to the enormous health and professional benefits of laughter, lightheartedness, games, and humor. There's a time to be serious, of course, but too much sobriety can be bad for your career, and worse, for your general well-being. In the conceptual age, he calls this, in work and in life, we all need play. The common idea behind these words, rest, play, Sabbath, self-care, treat yourself, the common idea truly is countercultural. You don't need to work harder. You don't need to fear slipping into becoming a self-indulgent or lazy person. I've already absolved you. It's not going to happen. It's not something to fear. Even if you did, even if you skipped all your meetings and all your chores and left the dishes in the sink for weeks, and all you did was lay on your couch and eat bonbons all day long, you would still be a person worthy of love. Some of us might be irritated with you. Your spouse might have something to say, but your worth as a human being is in no way tied to what you accomplish. You are enough. You're better than enough. You are a reflection of the holy. You are sacred source energy. You can never be anything less than a miracle. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself because I feel like I'm going to start singing How Could Anyone all by myself right up here. But we're going to sing it in a moment. Of all the things that we have changed in the order of service today, we are still singing that song in a few minutes. But first, the offering. But when we do sing it to yourself. Serenade yourself. Treat yourself. Amen.